Lord, I want to thank you so much for the time that we have to spend together. Thank you so much for Tony and the word that he gave to us, Lord, to not avoid the difficult. Lord, there's no opportunity there, but to seek out the difficult, to pursue the difficult, because that's where the opportunity is, to be bold even when it's hard, and not necessarily to look for the normal of the past, but to accept the normal that's right now. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that encouragement, and we pray, Lord, that you would please help us now as we try to prepare ourselves to be able to share the magnificent truth about your Son, Jesus Christ, with those who are lost, with those who are in the dark, with those who need it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to carry your word and minister your gospel to other people. I pray that you'd help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, sharing the gospel is difficult. Can you guys all hear me back there?
Yeah.
All right. So it is very difficult. And you heard me talk about this a little bit in my testimony the other night. But when we first arrived there, we didn't know what to do. Really had no idea what we were doing. As I explained to you about reading all the books, going through all the seminars and all that kind of stuff, and trying my best to figure out what to do, we did try everything, and I went through a great time of darkness and depression, and really questioning my call even, and really thinking that I wasn't the right guy for the job. And I had numerous people that were happy to confirm that in my life, that I was not the right person for the job. And so that's always a good day. And so I spent a lot of time in prayer, just asking God, you know, what do you want me to do? And you picked the wrong guy. And so I remember one day, you know, he was talking to me in my prayer life, and he said, listen, you know, what did I tell you to do? He's like, you're trying to make this too difficult. You're trying to make it too complicated. He says, what did I tell you to do? So you can write down in your notes, Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He said to go ye, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And I said, yeah, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he's like, that's what I told you to do. And I'm like, okay. And he says, okay, just go do that. And I'm like, well, I don't know what you're talking about exactly. I mean, I know it's just to preach the gospel, but that's just something that we say, right? I mean, I don't know what that means. Are you want me to, like, street preach? Or you want me to preach at church? Or I try to share when, you know, those elusive open doors that we all pray for and then avoid come up. I know we're supposed to preach the gospel when that happens, but... what do you mean? And so he told me, you know, there's people everywhere. Just go share the gospel with someone. And so I started trying to do that, and that was really hard. As I told you, I'm a very shy person, and so it was really difficult. I remember the first time I tried to do it, I went to a location that was actually a pretty good distance from my house, called Canary Wharf, and there's a place where they hang out to all have lunch. And just tons of business people and stuff, and I really liked that area. And so I went there, and I just sat there for like 2.5 hours, and I was just frozen stiff, and I didn't say a word to anybody. And then I just went home, and that was my first attempt at like sharing the gospel with strangers. I came home, and Mindy's like, so, you know, how'd it go? And I'm like, just don't even talk to me. Right, I just went up to my room, and I didn't want to talk about it. It was really hard, and so little by little, I started trying to figure out, you know, how to do this. As I told you, I started passing out tracts and stuff, and which tracts are good. We still use tracts. We use them in a very different way now, but we still use tracts. They're very helpful. Tracts are always a great thing to have with you. If it's all you can give to someone, then give it. Don't ever let that be a substitute for sharing the gospel with someone verbally, but if it's all you can do, man, then man, give a tract to someone. There's been lots of people saved through those things, so they're good. But he really wanted me to actually share the gospel with people. I remember one day I was in my office, and this group called Jews for Jesus. Anybody ever heard of them? It's an organization called Jews for Jesus. They called me in my office, and I'm just so frustrated at this point, and I don't know what to do, you know. So they call me up, and they're like, "Hey, you know, can we talk to you for a second?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you know, what do you want?" And I felt the Holy Spirit kind of saying to me, "You need to be nice, right?" And I was like, "Okay, what do you want?" I tried to say it nicer. "Please tell me what you want." And so they're like, "Yeah, well, you know, we're Jews, and we try to go out and tell people about Jesus." And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, that's in the name. I got that, you know." So tell me, I mean, why are you calling me? And they're like, "Well, we'd like to come and talk to you about what we do." I said, "So what do you do?" And they said, "Well, we actually go out on the street and we share the gospel with people, you know, targeting Jews, and we speak to Gentiles as well. But the Gentiles, we actually just try to get them hooked up in a local church. The Jews, we have to spend more time with them to transition them into a local church." So that really kind of perked my ears up, because they're going out on the street and talking to strangers. And I'm like, "Okay, so how do you do that exactly?" Well, long story short, they invited me to come out to their headquarters, which is in Golders Green there in London. And I sat down with them, and so they kind of shared with me their process. Because I was out on the street already for a while trying to share the gospel with people, and just, you know, I was just really, really bad at it. And I was just failing miserably at that. At least I felt like I was. So I thought, I want advice from anybody. And so I sat down with them, and they started talking to me about how it is that they do it. And there was one key thing that they taught me, which I'll talk about later, that really helped me and really changed the way that I share the gospel forever. And Mindy always thought it was great. She always thought it was wonderful that God used his people to come in and really gave us the key that opened up, really changed everything in our ministry. So that was pretty cool that he did that. But I went out on the street with them, and they gave me like a Jews for Jesus t-shirt, that was a remarkable day. I got spit on by an Orthodox Jew. Man, I'm telling you, you haven't lived, right? Until you get the finger from an Orthodox Jew, you have not lived. I'm talking about the hats with the squiggles and all that stuff. Those guys, they are feisty. They're feisty. So I got spit on by one. I got the finger from another guy. And I was just thinking, man, this is awesome. This is just great. I mean, I really felt like that. I just thought that was so cool. So I went home, and Mindy's like, "How'd it go?" And I was like, "It was wonderful, man." And told her all about the finger, so she thought that was pretty cool too. So it really just gave me some tools that I needed to be able to share the gospel. And as I started to put those into practice and to shape those, it turned into an approach that we developed. And in the midst of that happening with Jews for Jesus, which was super awesome, God was also teaching me a lot of principles about this in his word that really helped us to kind of put these things together. And through a lot of trial and error and a lot of years of just experience and doing it, we developed an approach and some principles that have helped us. And what we call it, we call our approach Just Ask. Just Ask. And the ASK, A-S-K, is an acronym. A.S.K. So Just Ask is the name of our approach. And with this approach, what I can offer you is 100% success. With this particular approach, if you will try this, what I can promise you is you will have 100% success every time you share the gospel. That's what I can guarantee you. So the first thing that I want to say about Just Ask is that we call it that because, first of all, just the whole title in itself, Just Ask, is a reminder that in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, it says that you're supposed to go, right? That's the first word. And what that tells us, and you can couple that and compare that with Matthew 28, 19 and 20, that you are the ones, as believers, that are supposed to take the initiative, right? A lot of times today, with especially, and I don't want to go on a rant or anything, but within the concept of the attractional model of church, which has developed over a long period of time, not really, you know, to the blame of any particular person, but just developed over a long period of time, the idea that, you know, if we make the church a really attractive place, then we try to get everyone to come here, and the church kind of becomes the salvation station that where people come in, and if you just bring them, then you get saved. You know, that's what we usually try to do. And so we have church services, have events, and all that kind of stuff, and we want people to come here to us so that they can get saved. And you know what? As long as someone gets saved, I'm pretty happy. I mean, I fundamentally disagree with the attractional model, its core principles. But if someone gets saved, then I think that's pretty much a good day, right? So I don't get too upset about it. I just get like moderately upset about it. I don't really like that model. I prefer a discipleship model. But we have kind of erroneously thought that the way to get people saved is for them to come to us, right? We do think that. And it's okay to admit that, but we do kind of think that. But the truth is that we're supposed to go to them. That means that we're the ones, practically speaking, we're the ones that are supposed to start the conversation. Do you understand? We're the ones that are supposed to start the conversation. And I think that, you know, the way I learned how to share the gospel when I was younger is that we always kind of, we really beat around the bush and that kind of thing. We want to like have a normal conversation, and we would try to figure out, you know, how do you take normal things and turn it into a spiritual conversation, you know, and all of those kind of things. And I think whatever you do, you know, I think it's great. As long as you're sharing the gospel, I'm not trying to convince you to not do it any particular way. As long as you're sharing the gospel, you just do it. But I think that the most reasonable and I think the most polite way to share the gospel with someone or to initiate that conversation is to just ask them if they would like to talk about it. Whenever it comes to sharing the gospel, you usually have two approaches. You have what I would call the bridge burner guy. And these are two extremes. And extremes are really good in helping us to assess where we kind of fall in the middle. But one extreme would be like the bridge burner. I'm not pointing at you. Sorry, you're not the bridge burner. But the bridge burner is the guy that he's kind of a jerk, but he's also kind of dedicated. You kind of admire him, and yet no one wants to be like him. He's the guy that really can't have a normal conversation with anyone. He's at work, and they're like, "Hey, Jim, what time is it?" And he's like, "Well, it's time for you to repent and come to Christ. That's what time it is." That guy. That guy is really, you know, he goes around, he's just burning bridges everywhere he goes, right? And he's such a martyr, because, like, no one wants to be around him, and so he suffers for Jesus, right? And so that guy, and so you kind of like him, because you respect him, and you're thinking, well, I mean, he's, like, bold, right? I mean, he's kind of, you know, troubled, but he's bold, and you like that. So he's out there, at least he's doing something, but that's not really the way that you want to be, right? But then you have the way that the majority of us are. He's kind of the exception and a minority, but the majority are what I call the bridge builders. You have a bridge burner, but you have a bridge builders too. And this is what we all do, is that, you know, you've heard those expressions. You got to, you know, earn the right. You ever heard that? You really got to earn the right to do that. You got to build the bridge. And all that kind of stuff. And we do understand what people mean. And it's great within, as you figure out how to do all this stuff and the experimentation of how to do it, because we haven't figured it out. We just, you know, we just proposed this, and you got to work that experiment with us. And so we try not to be too judgmental of anybody's particular approach. But, you know, there's a lot of bridge builders out there where they spend years building bridges that they never cross, right? And it is peculiar that we don't see anybody building bridges in the Bible. The concept of building bridges biblically doesn't, well, I suppose it doesn't exist. It's not in the Bible. You see people, a lot of people sharing the gospel, but you don't really see anybody, you know, spending 3 years having barbecues with their neighbors so that they can earn the right to share the gospel. That is an unknown concept in the Bible. It doesn't exist. We just made that up, and we made that up because we don't want to share it. We're looking for any reason to avoid that conversation. I mean, I understand. I get it. I'm looking for any reason to avoid the conversation because that conversation is hard. We would much rather that Pastor Mike kill himself to put on a big event so we can bring our last friend to church so that hopefully he'll get up in his very, you know, enthusiastic and charismatic and biblically informed way can express the gospel to them and they can come and get saved. And we were like, that's awesome. And it is great. And it is awesome. And why wouldn't you do that? Because it's a great thing. The only problem with that is, you know, you are commanded to go. You know, you did a good thing. Mike did everything right. This guy got saved. He's going to heaven. That's a great day. But you're commanded to go still. As we make disciples, we're supposed to be making disciples who are people who go in order to share the gospel with people. You want to be faithful. You want to be obedient yourself. And so you don't want to be a bridge burner, and you don't want to be a bridge builder. Now, having said that, you do need boldness, right? There's always a little bit of truth in every wrong idea, and so you want to have some boldness, and you also want to have tact. You know, you might have to have a few conversations with someone before you, but typically with people, my experience, you know how many conversations you really need with someone before you ask them? Maybe about five. Maybe, like, so let's say five conversations. In fact, let's go crazy. Let's say you have 10 conversations with them. I'm like, you know, where you're talking to them, hey, you know, what's going on with you? How are the kids? You know, nobody cares. You just talk about that stuff and back and forth. And they're like, yeah, how are things going with you? Like, he cares about your job. And then, you know, you have like a barbecue once or something like that. He knows that you go to church. Hopefully he knows you, you go to church or that you're a Christian. Yeah, you know, you have, let's say you have 10 conversations. Why wouldn't you ask them at this point? And it's like, if they know what you're about, if they know that you're a Christian, I think the most polite thing that you can do, as well as the most bold thing that you can do, is just to ask them. And it would sound something like this. You would say, hey, listen, Jim, would you like to get some coffee with me sometime? I would really like to open up the Bible and show you what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Would you like to do that? And if he's like, no, then you're like, okay, cool. I mean, I'm a jerk if I don't ask, right? So I asked, and if you don't want to do that, that's totally cool, man. I'll see you at the barbecue on Saturday, and, you know, you bring the beer. Whatever you do, you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You just ask them. Because I'm not ever surprised when people say no. I get rejected all the time when I ask people. It's like high school all over again, right? I get rejected all the time. But what I am surprised about is how many people say yes. I mean, what if they say yes? What if they say, and they do, I want you to know this, that they do say yes. And you ask them, you say, hey, would you like to go get some coffee with me? And I'll tell you what it means to, what it really means, according to the Bible, to follow Jesus. And they're like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And you're always like, you know, it's when that good-looking girl says, you know, she'll go out with you, you're like, really? You're like surprised. You're like, really? You wanna talk about that? Oh, sweet. And then you start talking really fast and sweating, you know, and you're trying to get their phone number. It's like having a date all over again. And it's wonderful. But there's a lot of people that will say yes when you ask them. And now you have permission when you sit with them to open up the Bible and just to lay it out, you know, the full gospel with them and try to lead them to Christ. I think that just being polite enough and bold enough to ask them, I think that's the best way for you to be bold, right, without burning the bridge. The best way to be bold without burning the bridge is to just ask them. I want to encourage you this morning that there are a lot of people out there, or I should say there's a lot more than you think, that will sit and will talk with you about the gospel if you will just ask them. Just ask them. That's all you have to do. You know, we keep waiting for these magical conversations to happen where someone's going to be like, what must I do to be saved? And those things do happen, but they don't happen very often. And if you're waiting for that, man, you're going to spend the majority of your life being disobedient. And guess what? The vast majority of people, according to some statistics, I don't know how they got this, but they say that it's something like over 85% of believers have never shared the gospel with anyone in their life. I think when the judgment seat comes, most of the people standing there from our generation will have never shared the gospel with anybody, much less brought someone to Christ, much less discipled somebody to do the same. And so they're out there if you just ask them. And I know it's hard to ask them, you know, but I promise you, you'd be surprised. If you will ask them, then they will sit down with you and you get to share the gospel. And I also promise you that if you will continue to ask people, it's only a matter of time. It is only a matter of time before you bring someone to Christ. That's all it is a matter of. Okay, so what is this ASK? Let me just share this with you. The ASK, if you want to go out and just ask people, the ASK, these are just things, it's not a script, not really so much a technique or anything like that. These are really just kind of navigations, if you will. These are just kind of guideposts to help you to navigate through any conversation that you happen to find yourself in. So A stands for ask for permission. That's what we just covered. You want to ask for permission. You know, would you like to sit down with me and, you know, talk about it? Would you like to do that? And if they're like, no, I don't want to, you're like, okay, that's cool. And whenever they say no, man, when you ask for permission, at least three things happen, okay? One, you know where they stand, right? So now I don't have to spend 3 years building a bridge to Jim because I know he's not interested. That's kind of our motto at our church, one of our many. We are interested in those who are interested. That's who we focus on. If someone is not interested, then I don't waste my time. I'm looking for people that I can tell that the Holy Spirit is working on them and they're interested. We need to stop generally as a church trying to convince the world that God exists. They are never going to admit that. They're never going to get on board with that. Stop trying to convince people that don't want to know. That's not really the best use of apologetics. Apologetics can be very useful. I don't think it's for that. Find people who want to know. Go out and ask people. Find people who are interested and invest in those people. Because there are people out there that want to know. When we were out on the street, we ran into this lady. She was a Russian lady named Marina. She had been living in London at that point for about 2 years, and she ran into our team on the street, and they started talking to her, and she said that in that two-year time that she'd been in London, she had been looking for someone who would talk to her about the gospel, and she talked to her friends, and they didn't want to talk about it. She tried to talk to her coworkers, and none of them wanted to talk about anything religious, and she could not find anybody who would talk to her about this issue. And so when some of our people were like, hey, would you like to sit down? And she's like, yes, I would like to talk to someone, please. So they hooked her up with Mindy, and Mindy sat down, had some coffee with her, and she was expressing to her, you know, how that there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And she comes from Russia. She was kind of in that Orthodox church and had to go through the priests and all that. And that whole system, and she just started to weep when she heard the truth about the gospel, that she could just have a personal relationship with him apart from all of that religion. And just nobody would tell her. the truth about the gospel. We are so convinced, according, because we watch so many TV shows, we're just so convinced that the world doesn't want to know. And the truth is there are a lot of people out there, if we will go talk to them, who do want to know. There are people out there that have questions who genuinely want to know. I mean, this is the business that our Father is in bringing people to His Son, right? So He is working on people out there to bring them to His Son. He just needs us to be obedient enough to go out and to ask them. So you want to ask for permission, but once you do that, you want to, the S is share the gospel. So ask for permission and share the gospel. And this should go without saying, but if we did, then the acronym would just be ACK, and that's really, that doesn't sound right at all. So we said ask. And so share the gospel is in there, but it's important that we put that in there because it's amazing how many times we can talk to people about the gospel and never share it with them. You know, we'll talk about our miracle stories, or we'll talk about some apologetics thing, and we'll talk about fossils, or we'll talk about, you know, hurts and hang-ups that we have in our life, and we'll kind of talk about our story a little bit. And man, it's tough, you know, to get around to the death, burial, and resurrection. That's actually the gospel according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. That's the gospel. We need to talk about the death, burial, and resurrection, and the reason for that is sin and righteousness. We have to get around to actually talking about the gospel. Just as a side note, your testimony is such, it's one of the best tools that you have. You've heard that, right? It's one of the best tools that you have to share the gospel, and you should use your testimony. But I want to also say, to balance that, that your testimony is not the gospel. It is a great tool to share the gospel, but your story is not the gospel. Do you see the difference? So just sharing your story, you still haven't shared the gospel with them. Now what you can do is you can combine those two things. And you can use your story, okay, kind of as the construct or the vehicle to share the gospel. Use your story. You can talk about, man, this is where I was in my life, and I was just running from the Lord. You know, we're talking about you, of course. I was just really running from the Lord, and man, like, you know, Romans 6:23 talks about this, and Romans 3:23 talks about this, that, man, I was just lost, and like, we're all sinners. You know what I'm saying? I just use my story as a way to share the gospel. And that's a great, man, that's a great tool for sharing the gospel, is to put those two together. Use your story as a way to share the gospel with someone, but just your story alone, that's not the gospel. You have to give them scriptures. What they need from you is Bible. And we can have so many conversations with people and never actually give them any Bible verses. And that is what they need from you most of all. They need Bible verses. Actual Bible verses. That is where the power is at. The power is not in your clever communication. Okay, it is, the power is in the gospel itself. You have to give them Bible. So you have to share the gospel with them. Okay, so that's S. Now, when we do the S, most of the time we do that, we're on the street. And we have like about a 3-minute window, right? And before they're off. And so we kind of give a kind of an encapsulated version of the gospel as a way to then invite them to go sit down and have coffee with us. And so when we do that, we'll use just John 14:6, and I'll use that as kind of those three things that Jesus says about himself as a kind of an outline to share the gospel. Whatever way that you share it, maybe you use the Romans Road, you know? Everyone know the Romans Road? You're familiar with that? Some people use Way of the Master, you know, whatever. I don't care how you share it. As long as it's biblical, and you have a way to share the gospel, you just drop whatever you're already doing, you just drop that right into the S part, right? You don't even have to change it. You have to change the, find the way that you feel comfortable, maybe use your testimony, with you drop the gospel into your testimony, that's great. You use the Romans Road, great. You have like a one verse gospel that you use, like Romans 6:23 or something like that, drop that right in there, that's what you use. You can take what you're already doing, and this, kind of system will still help you to navigate through that. So you take what you're already comfortable with and just slip that right in there. And you can use whichever one that you want. As long as it is biblical and you cover all the necessary elements of the gospel, from sin and repentance and the cross and the resurrection and all of that kind of stuff. You have to have all of that in there. Okay, and then you come to letter K. And this is the part that Jews for Jesus shared with me that changed the way that I share the gospel forever. And this K stands for keep the conversation going. Keep the conversation going. And this is a huge mistake that I've made most of my life, is I was so nervous to share the gospel with people that I would just kind of throw up all over them, right? And then they would walk away and I would just be so relieved that they were gone, right? And does anyone else ever feel like that? That you just want to get through it, you know? And it's like your first kiss. It's always really bad. And you just want to get through it so you can just tell everybody that you did it, right? Don't act like you don't know. And so, yeah, you just want to get through it, and then you're just so glad that, you don't have to see them again. But you do want to see them again. And this is the part that Jews for Jesus told me, and when they told me, it just... it's so simple, it just blew my mind. And this is what they told me. They said, you don't want to have one conversation with them, you want 10 conversations with them. Now, just change that paradigm in your mind. When you're sharing the gospel with people, you don't want to have one conversation, you want to have 10 conversations. I'm not talking about 10 conversations with 10 different people. I'm talking about 10 conversations with that guy, with Jim. You want to have 10 conversations with him, because honestly, when you think about what it is we're asking people to do when you go up to them on the street, it would be the equivalent of me walking up to them on the street and asking them to marry me. That's the weight of what we're asking them to do on the street. That's really the weight of what you're asking your coworker to do, would be the equivalent of asking them to marry you. Do you understand what I mean? This is a big ask. It's probably going to take more than one conversation. When I met my wife, I knew immediately I was going to marry her. It took her about 6 months to be convinced, right? And even then, she was a little shaky. I had to lie and tell her I had a ton of money. She was still a little shaky. But it takes more than one conversation before someone comes to Christ. Like I told you about Jamal, I had to meet with him like 6 different times before he accepted Christ. So every time that I'm talking to someone about the gospel, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, how can I move this to the second conversation? That's always what I'm thinking. Now obviously, if they're ready, if it's just low-hanging fruit and they're just ready, some people are. You know, one girl, I was sharing the gospel with her, with Mindy, when it was a woman, I would always take Mindy with me and we would sit down and talk about it. And we just start talking about sin and she just burst into tears. And she's like, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And we're like, hey, man, I haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet. You know, I'm like, fine, accept Christ. And so there's some people like that, and that's fine, but that's not very common. So whenever I'm talking with someone, I'm always thinking, how can I move this to conversation number 2? How can I move this to conversation number 3? And it doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't have to be on the high street. It's anywhere that you go. This is what you should always be thinking. Always, always, always. If you're talking with someone about the gospel, you should always be thinking, how can I move this to the next conversation? I was on a plane with someone, and I was talking with them. He turned out to be Jewish as well. And so I asked him, I said, would you mind if I shared with you what I believe about this? And he was like, yeah, sure. So I laid out the whole gospel for him, they're telling us, get the bing bong, we're getting ready to land and stuff like that. And so I told him, I said, where are you headed? And I was headed in a different direction at this airport, but he was going to be headed to Borger, Texas, where I had a friend at that time who was a minister. And I said, oh, cool. I said, you know what? I have this, there's a Jesus expert in Borger, Texas. And would you mind if I hooked him up with you? You guys could have coffee, and he would be able to explain this even more deeply. If you have questions. And he's like, yeah. So I got his number. I gave him Bill's number, and then I called Bill and told him, you know, guess what you're doing this this week, you know? And I wasn't able to do it, but I was going to figure out a way to get this guy to the next conversation. And you can do that in tag team, right? And you're like, man, you know, you'd be better at this. Why don't you take this guy? Or this guy is just really annoyed, so could you please take this guy? Whatever the situation, you can tag team. But you're always wanting to get it to the next conversation. And you just want to keep talking to them until they either get saved or they tell you to get lost, right? Now, there are some people that are just lonely and they're just looking for someone to talk to, and they're just going to waste your time and suck all the energy out of your life. There are a few people that are like that, but they're pretty rare. So be discerning about that. If someone's just stringing you along and they really don't have any interest, obviously you want to move on. But those are pretty rare. Most of the time, you can just keep going, and they'll let you know if they're in or out at some point. So you always want to keep the conversation going. Always keep doing that. Now, whenever we taught our people how to do this, we always said to them, you just got to go out there and ask. You know, keep asking, and I promise you in time, someone will say yes. And I promise you they will. But then I had a guy up in my church. He came up, and he says, well, if they say yes, what do I say then? I mean, what do I tell them if they actually agree to sit down and have coffee with me? Well, that conversation was what spawned this. I said, okay, just give me a minute. So I went to my office and I wrote this. I sat down, it just took me about maybe a week or something. And I just wrote this down. And it's just like the gospel in three sessions. So it's built in to have more than one conversation with them. It's just the gospel in three sessions. And it just goes through the sin of man, the salvation of God, the Savior of the world. And it does this at two separate kind of parts. Each lesson has the scriptures and also has the story. So it combines this gospel scriptures with the prodigal son story of Luke 15 in order to kind of bring the scripture principles to life in that story. And so it just gives you the words, because you guys know the gospel. Everybody knows the gospel if you're a Christian. At least you knew it enough to get saved. But explaining the gospel and knowing it can be very different sometimes. You can know the gospel, but explaining the gospel to someone can be difficult. So we wrote this just to give people the words when they do have someone that says, yeah, I'll do that. So this guy that said this to me, he says, what do I say? So I wrote this down. I literally just wrote it down on a piece of paper. I typed it on a piece of paper. And I just gave him the paper. I never meant actually to print any of these. And then he came back to me and he says, well, they got saved. So what do I tell her now? And so I was like, all right, give me another minute. So I went to my office and I wrote this, which is brand new. And I gave him those papers. And it's just about like eight little miniature lessons just to help that new believer. It's not really next steps. It's just to help them get the right perspective so that they know what it is that they've actually gotten into. Now that they have this brand new life, what's the right perspective to have on that? So it just gives a few little lessons to help them follow up. It's not discipleship. It's not meant to replace that. You guys have discipleship. It's just something to say, hey, just read this. It takes about 20 minutes to read it. It's not long. It just helps to get them kind of focused in the right direction. So those are just tools to help you to have the words when you do get that open door. Okay, so with regards to this 100% success, every time you try it, I just got about 2 or 3 minutes here, and then we're done, okay? The first thing with regards to that is how you measure your success, okay? This is the most important part of this whole thing, really, is how you measure your success. The way that you measure your success is through obedience, not results. If you go out and you start asking people, and they're rejecting you, and they're turning you down, that is still 100% success. That's 100% success because your success is measured by obedience, not results. I don't have any control over the results, right? We don't have any control over that. That's up to them, that's up to God. I don't have any, all I have control over is what I do. And so this is exactly what you see constantly through the Bible. Whenever God came to Joshua at Jericho and he gave him a plan, that was, according to a soldier, ridiculous, didn't he? He's like, hey, listen, I want you to get your best guys. I want you to put the priest in front, and they're going to have, you know, trumpets instead of swords. That's a great plan. And then you're going to go out, and you're going to march around the city seven times. And everyone's like, okay, cool, then what? He's like, well, you got to wait for it, because once we march around seven times, then we're gonna shout, right? Because we all know that that's a great military strategy, is just to yell real loud, and then the walls are supposed to fall down. Now, that seems like a ridiculous plan, doesn't it? Because the issue, as we said last night, was about, are you gonna trust me or not? That's always the issue. And that's the issue here too. Because this is a ridiculous plan. When you say, well, the idea of me going to my coworker and just asking them, that's never going to work. The idea of just sharing the gospel with them, that's never going to work. No one's ever going to be interested. Well, the issue is whether or not you're going to just trust him and obey him. That's always the issue. It's always the issue. Are you going to trust him enough just to be obedient? And you say, listen, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I'm just going to go and I'm going to be obedient. Now, that is success. So if you get to the end of your month and you think, well, I was told to go and share the gospel with people, at least to attempt, and you get to the end of your month and you say, well, have I done that? If the answer is no, then that's a failed month, right? It's just that simple. You get to the end of the month, you say, have I tried any time this month? Yeah, I have. I tried this month. Success month. It is just that simple. That is your measure from now on. Is obedience, not results. And added to that, soul winning itself is a win-win situation. If I go to someone and I try to share the gospel with them and they say, yeah, I'd love to sit down and talk with you. Well, that's, man, that's a win, right? That's great. Even whether they get saved in the end or not, it's a real win. I get to share the gospel and I was obedient, and that's great. If I go and I try to share the gospel with someone and they're like, you know, you're dumb, and more than that, you're stupid and you're really ugly, you know, and I'm like, well, I knew that, you know, because my wife told me that just this morning, right? And I already knew that. And they say, well, I think that your religion is stupid and so is your mom and all this kind of stuff, right? Well, if they say all that stuff to me, well, Matthew chapter 5 says that if I'm persecuted for the Lord, then what do I get in heaven? I get great rewards, don't I? So if I'm obedient to share, I get rewards. If I get persecuted and rejected, I get rewards. I get rewards both ways, right? I want you to understand, the only way that you can lose when it comes to sharing the gospel is if you don't do it. That's the only way that you can lose, because that's a guaranteed way to lose your crown. That's the guaranteed way to lose your rewards, is just to avoid it. If you will just go out and be obedient, it's 100% success for you. Every time that you try it, if you just obey, that's all you have to do, is just obey. And I know that it's hard. I'm not trying to pretend that it's not. Okay? But avoiding it is guaranteed loss. But being obedient is guaranteed success. And that's not based on me. I mean, that's based on the scriptures. So I promise you, if you guys would just take this, take what you already know about the gospel, slip that in there, and just ask them, share the gospel with them, and then try to keep that conversation going until they get saved or tell you to get lost. And just do that, you know? And if these resources help you, I'm sure Mike, he's probably got resources that are similar to this that are probably better than this. Use those. If you already got stuff, if these are good resources that'll help you, you can use those. But you know, find the words if you don't have the words already, and I promise you, start asking people will say yes, and it's only a matter of time before there will be someone sitting in one of these empty chairs that you led to Christ. Is there anybody currently sitting in one of these chairs that you led to Christ? or in one of the chairs at church on Sunday? Is there anybody that you could point to? The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 at the very end, he says, you know, my crown of rejoicing. What my crown of rejoicing, he says, is to see you there on that day before the Lord when he returns. It wasn't enough for the Apostle Paul that he got to go to heaven. What made him rejoice, what was his crown of rejoicing, was to see all the children that he brought to the Lord standing before the Lord on that day. That is what he rejoices over. When you are standing there before the Lord, are you going to be able to look over and see any children that you reproduced spiritually? Is anyone going to go to heaven because of you? Is anyone going to come to church on Sunday because of you? Is anybody getting discipled because of you? Are you like those women in the Old Testament that you see constantly that they feel this shame and reproach upon a bride when she is what? When she is barren. All the way through, man, you see constantly people are like, God, please take this reproach away from me. It was always a shame upon a woman in the Old Testament if she was barren. And it's such a picture of the bride today. When the bride is barren, it is a reproach. We are supposed to give birth to spiritual babies. Are you barren? Or are you bearing fruit? This, I hope, will help you to deal with that. Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be obedient. And I just pray that you'd help us, give us the courage to go out and ask people, share the gospel with them, and keep the conversation going. I pray that we would not be bridge burners, that we would not be bridge builders. I pray, Lord, that we would just ask them and to be bold without burning the bridge. Just ask them, Lord, and when we stand before you, we can know that we lived a life with biblical success. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.